This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
All right, everybody, welcome aboard on a Thursday, an overcast Thursday here in the nation's capital. Still warmish, but overcast on the final day of the broadcast week for moi. I'm off to Canton, Ohio tomorrow to visit the offspring, the young adults, and have some fun with them. I'll be out until Tuesday. So you get a little break from me. DOC will be in place tomorrow, and then I think Linnell on Monday, and Linnell will follow us today at 4 o'clock in for Hoffman. Lots to do, lots to cover, lots to talk about with you. At 301-230-0980, it's going to be just a little bit before we get to the call, so you may want to hang on, just hang on. It's easy to get through. It's not that hard. We have less calls during the offseason, obviously, than we do during, much of the season when it's just, quite honestly, more to talk about. But we will start before we get to Adam Peters, Dan Quinn, Commanders, NFL rules changes aplenty, all of that, Ovechkin, Denny Avdia returning last night, all of that. We'll cover it all. I did want to start with this, which is extremely rare for this show. Usually I let Coach Sheehan have center stage for College Basketball Central, but I figured we would start with what happened last night in College Park. And listen, Michigan State winning that game has nothing to do with Tom Izzo being so great and Tom Izzo being Mr. March and all that stuff, as I saw one college basketball analyst point out, even though it's late February. Look, Trey Holloman, game-winning shot from beyond half court. I wish I could tell you that there was skill. I'm sure there is some level of skill to that, but there's not a lot of skill. It's random. It's luck. It's whatever. It happens. It's crazy. And that sucks to lose a game like that, right? But losing a game on a buzzer beater happens. It happens to great teams. It happens in the regular season. It happens in the tournament. It happens wherever. Okay? But the bottom line is, there is no shame in losing to Michigan State if you're Maryland last night, even though you're at home. First of all, they were number 8 in the country. Secondly, again, they hit a semi-miracle. I mean, if it's not a Hail Mary, if it's not a miracle, it's a semi-miracle. There's just not a whole lot you can do in that particular spot, okay, for that. The problem was everything else that happened before that. And while I am not going, I am not John Rothstein. I am not Andy Katz. I am not, John Fanta or anybody, any of these college basketball experts. I know sports, and I can tell you this. Watching it live, and then I went back and I watched it 10 times on replay, that what really hurt the Maryland Terrapins was not even Jacoby Gillespie's bad timing or missed shot. It's everything that happened before that. But just if you start at Gillespie's shot, right? If you start at Gillespie's shot, that's the problem that you have, is he takes it with about 4.5 seconds left. I went back and I slowed it down and I freeze framed it and whatever. I couldn't quite exactly tell if he released the ball at 4.5 seconds or maybe it was like 4.3. It was kind of like right in that range, right? I mean, we're talking about tenths of a second. He had room to drive or to dribble to his left. They didn't need a three, right? And you take the shot with, let's just say, 4+ seconds left to go in the game. After Maryland was kind of dead to rights, you take the shot with 4+ seconds left in the game. Let's just call it that. I think it was 4.5, but again, reasonable argument can be made that it was 4.3, 4.2, whatever. And I understand. I understand. There was conjecture right after the game, from Kevin Willard, who I guess wasn't too hard on Gillespie for missing the shot. He says maybe if he waits, he doesn't get an open look. I trust Kobe. He's been great all year. At the end of the day, the kid still had to hit a 60-footer to beat you, blah, 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 blah. But here's the problem, okay? I'm not saying Gillespie had time and room and opportunity to drive to the rack and get a layup or a slam dunk. That's not what I'm saying. But he did have room, I believe. The video tells me he had room to A, dribble the ball more, to B, wait a little bit more, and C, I think more importantly, he had room to his left and the ability to get closer, which does not guarantee you a basket. But mathematically, theoretically, realistically, sensibly, gives you a better chance to make a shot. And that's where Maryland screwed up. It's not missing the shot. It's not giving up the so-called, so to speak, Hail Mary. It's not that. It's in that moment, with at least 4 seconds left, he had room to dribble to his left. He had an avenue. I don't know if he has room to get a slam dunk or a layup or whatever. I don't know that. I can't tell that. Maybe he does, maybe he doesn't. Probably does, but maybe he doesn't. But he certainly had room to get a better look and a better shot. He certainly had room to do that. And if you look at it and you say, all right, he could have done better, but there's nothing they could have done more. Well, that's not true either. Again, first of all, Michigan State was the better team all night last night. Tom Izzo said it after the game. If you listen to the game here on the Team 980, if you watch the game, I think it was on Big Ten Network. And I was doing a podcast with Matt during the second half. So I was, you know, watching the game, but I couldn't fully pay attention to it. It was very clear from the start last night that Michigan State was the better team. It was an ugly first half. It was a grinded out kind of game, sloppy fouls, physical, nobody hitting shots. It just wasn't a great game by any stretch of the imagination. It was not a well-played game. It just wasn't. And to me, even though we can sit here and say, oh, hey, Gillespie could have done a better job, and there is no doubt. I mean, even though his head coach is defending him and saying, there's no guarantee that he could have done this, he could have done that, whatever. Yes, I understand. But he front rims it, right? He front rims the shot, which tells you he didn't have enough gas. He's kind of fading away. He's taking a semi-contested three with a defender lunging at him. Again, he could have gone with the time that he has, and maybe he's not aware of the time that he has, as he spots up from about 4 or 5 feet beyond the three-point arc. And that's part of the problem, is it doesn't look like he's aware of how much time left that he has. He could have gone again. He could have pump faked and gone to his left to buy a little bit cleaner of a look, maybe drawn the foul, maybe gotten closer. I mean, there was room to operate for Gillespie, okay? There was room to operate. Now, again, I'm not a college basketball expert. I don't think you need to be to use common sense. And anybody that says, oh, there was nothing else he could do, well, I'm sorry, you're not right. That being said, did Maryland lose that game because of that one decision? Of course not. Of course not. Again, the game was lost, I think, listening to Johnny Holiday and Chris Nockey on the way, and Walt Williams on the way through unbearable traffic last night. I didn't even get home until 10 after 7. So listening to those guys on 980 and the Odyssey app, they were talking about it early, how everybody was kind of just off, sloppy, physical, chippy, just disjointed, both teams. But Michigan State was a little bit better from the start. Now, Michigan State was also then ultimately down by 2 at the half. Okay? And obviously they outscored them in the second half thanks to the Miracle 3. And another 2 points. They outscored him by 5 in the second half, 37-32, and of course won the game, 58-55. But the bottom line is, Maryland did not lose that game just simply because of that decision by Gillespie. Although that's ultimately what it will be boiled down to, they didn't lose the game just because of that. They lost the game. Michigan State was not much better. They lost the game because they could not shoot from the floor. And because they were terrible offensively. Bottom line, they were bad in every way. They shot 31% from the floor, 20% from three. They had 11 turnovers, which was not terrible, although it was a little bit elevated in the first half. They got out-rebounded by 12. And whatever you want to say about Izzo and Michigan State, and nobody around here all that much cares, we all know that they're always good, right? And top 10 team, no embarrassment losing. They're going to win the Big Ten regular season. Nobody cares. They're going to be the top seed in the Big Ten tournament. They'll be, you know, a 2 seed in the NCAA tournament, whatever. But you can't win a game. I don't care whether it's at home, on the road, in the tournament, in the Big Ten tournament, in the NCAA tournament, in November, in December, in January, in February, in March, wherever. You can't win a game when your best player, Derek Queen, is 2 of 11 from the floor and missed 3 free throws. When Gillespie, who misses that shot, is 2 of 10 and 0 of 6 from 3-point, including that 3-pointer, which was 5 feet beyond the arc. And with 4-plus seconds left and with room to dribble and at least buy himself some time. Although he did make 11 out of his 11 free throws. Good for him. And you cannot win that game when, in addition to those two guys, Julian Reese, or Juju Reese, is 2 of 7 from the floor. So say it with me, boys and girls. Juju Reese, Derek Queen, Jacoby Gillespie each hit 2 field goals. That's 6. For 28. 6 for 28 from the floor combined. 6 for 28 from the floor. That's like 20%. You can accuse me of not knowing college basketball all you want. I don't care. I don't have to be, an expert to tell you that sucks. That's not good. That's not acceptable. That's a bad, 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 bad night at the office. And then on top of that, the rebounding edge that we just mentioned for Michigan State and everything that happened in the final sequence. Now, you could also say, well, Michigan State's an exceptionally tough team. They're athletic. They have, what, 3 or 4 7-foot bigs, right? That's why Juju Reese and Derek Queen struggled. Queen was subbed out early, like with 3 minutes into the game for whatever reason. They came right back. I don't know what was going on there. They never really explained it on the broadcast. But I understand it was a tough matchup to play well offensively. Got it. And not every matchup is going to be like that come NCAA tournament time. You might get lucky and avoid a team like Michigan State or a team that can really bear down and play great defense. And we can talk about all that as we get close to the tournament. But the bottom line is in a one-night situation, if you run into a buzzsaw with athletic bigs and Queen and Juju Reese are shut down or controlled the way they were last night, you're in trouble. You're just in trouble, period. And I don't think I'm saying anything earth-shattering because they don't have enough perimeter shooting to have a off night by not only those guys, but Gillespie too, where they shot again 20-ish percent from the field, the three of them. They just don't have enough. And guess what? Most teams don't have enough. So this is the kryptonite for Maryland right here, is how do we make sure our bigs aren't totally controlled, one. Two, how do we make sure if they are controlled that somebody like Gillespie doesn't not step up and have the worst shooting night of his career? Again, 0 of 11. I'm sorry, 2 of 10. 0 of 6 from three-point land. How do we have that happen? And do we have enough firepower to combat that against a good defensive team like Michigan State? And the answer last night was almost, but no, not quite enough. And again, that's the problem, is it didn't just come down to a miracle buzzer beater. It didn't come down to a bad decision by Gillespie. It was from the start, Maryland wasn't good last night. From the start. And anybody can tell that, whether you were listening to the game, whether you're watching the game, whether you know nothing about college basketball or not. And it had nothing to do, again, with Tom Izzo. People are just so quick to just automatically anoint the coaches as the saviors and all that. It had everything to do with the athletic bigs of Michigan State taking Maryland out of their game. Now, again, is that something to do with Tom Izzo? Yes, yeah, something. Not everything. Okay? Not everything. They executed well enough defensively and athletically and to be able to control the meat and potatoes of what Maryland is. And they won a game on the road. Now, does it mean anything? No. Congratulations. They're 23-5. They're going to win the Big Ten regular season title. They'll be the number one seed at the Big Ten tournament. Great. Even if they win the Big Ten tournament, doesn't mean anything come the NCAA tournament. In a one-game neutral floor atmosphere, even as a two seed, which I presume they would be, maybe there's an outside shot, they'll be a one seed. They can easily lose if they get into foul trouble, if for whatever reason their shots aren't falling, right? That's what happens in a one-game, random, non-home floor atmosphere. That's why the college basketball regular season means so much less than every other sport, period. Because there's no home field advantage. Yes, there's a regional advantage a lot of the times to the higher seeded teams and certainly the ones, but there is no home field advantage. There's a randomness to every NCAA tournament game. There's often a stark unfamiliarity, at least early in the tournament, when teams get knocked off that weren't expecting to get knocked off because they're somewhat unfamiliar with their opponent. And more because of the random nature, right? But again, last night, losing on their home floor to a top 10 team the way they did, that doesn't mean Maryland can't win a championship, whether it be the Big Ten Conference or whether it be the NCAA tournament. Again, that's probably not going to happen, but do they have an outside shot? Sure. Do they have a decent shot to get to the Final Four? Yeah. But last night, them losing is a bad sign for, hey, if this team loses in a one game and done elimination style format, i.e. the tournament, this is how it's probably going to happen. But does this loss Or even if they would have beaten Michigan State last night, does it really mean a whole lot of anything? No. No, not at all. Not at all. Because I guarantee you that what happens at the end of February has almost no bearing on what will happen in the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament. You will see teams that suck at the end of February and into March, or suck relatively, struggling, let's just put it that way, get on a heater, and you will see teams that are red hot, scorching hot, and look great, and seemingly have everything at the end of February, early March, and even into the conference tournament, and they get bounced in the first round. There's a randomness to it. People say the hockey playoffs, the Stanley Cup playoffs are random. The NCAA tournament is the most random tournament, period. End of story. All right, if you want to talk about the Maryland Terrapins last night and the significance or lack thereof, what happened on the final play, what have you, we never really do this, certainly not for a regular season college basketball game, but it was a big enough game, big enough stage. There's not enough going on that I think that's our top story. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. If you want to yell at me on Twitter or X, it's at WrestleMania621.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Hey. I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Street Easy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. but that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, Street Easy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Your calls, your reaction next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is time for your main event, WrestleMania.
All right, good to have you with us. We got plenty of breaking NFL news to tell you about during the trending alert in just 2 minutes or so. But we want to, again, give you the opportunity to get in. 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980 on Maryland. Just as I suspected, AMAC, nobody cares. I mean, it is the weirdest thing. It is the weirdest thing, but it has been this way for my entire career. So many people in sports talk radio care so much about college basketball and think that's all you can talk about in late February and March, and it never generates any interest. And again, I was saying this yesterday. Part of the reason is nobody knows the players. Nobody knows the teams. The transfer portal and NIL only make it worse. Even the big teams, people know a couple of the big play, you know, a big player here or there. Nobody knew anything about Michigan State other than Tom Izzo last night. That's it. Around here they know the Crab Five because it's a local program that's a top 20-ish program, so you hear a lot about them from the Maryland alums that are on the radio and are on television and are loud on Twitter, okay? But the problem is it never, ever, ever has translated to sports talk radio. No matter whether I was doing national or local, it just has never, ever matched the passion, the fever, the interest, whatever. You can judge it by any means you want. Just because people talk about it a lot because of brackets and gambling and the ratings suggest that they watch it, again, we have our issue with ratings, just because of that does not mean that people go gaga over it on sports talk radio, which is what I do and what I care about.
So I always thought about this, and I want to pose a question to you, because when I was coming up, like, March Madness was a huge thing. College basketball was a huge thing. I was very into Duke, and it felt like the environment that I was in also matched that intensity.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that it's dying down and people don't no longer have an interest in it? And if you do you think that has to do with the gain of popularity in college football?
Yes and yes and yes is the answer to all of that. But I would tell you this. That even when Duke was, you know, and Duke is still dominant or great, right? Even then, I was doing a ton of national radio, and I would do a ton of college basketball coverage because that's what our program directors told us to do. Why? It was based on television ratings, and it never translated. It never translated, and the reason is there's too many teams, too many small schools, too many names, and not enough superstars, and not enough people then for therefore staying in college to build a resume. And I know around here locally, obviously when Georgetown was Georgetown and the Big East was the Big East, I understand, but it was a very different world back then, right? You didn't have just regionally here. You didn't have Alex Ovechkin. The Caps were kind of an afterthought. You didn't have as much sports on TV, quite honestly, right? And John, Big John, was an intimidating, dominant force with Iverson and different eras of Georgetown. Iverson, Ewing, went the Terps with Gary Williams, Lefty Trezell before that. Again, I think that was a different era. There was less to pay attention to, less to follow. I think the transfer portal and NIL has further cemented that people will casually watch the tournament, and they will watch the tournament. Don't get me wrong. They will watch the tournament. They will casually know about it, but they will avidly, they will follow it. And the only avid interest, I believe, is how their brackets are doing and how their gambling is. Not, oh, is Duke and Cooper Flagg going to, you know, make a run and win six games in March and go all the way to the title? And who's going to be the road to the Final Four? And who's going to be the bracket buster? And all this, like, I just don't think people care about college basketball, the sport. A, yes, like they used to your point. B, it's further exacerbated or whatever that word is by transfer portal and NIL, you can't keep teams together. Then on top of that, it was already ruined by kids leaving after 1 year, which is going to happen at Maryland with Queen, right? It's going to happen with Cooper Flag at Duke. It's going to happen with the Rutgers kids, so on and so on. I mean, there's just no way to follow it. It's just constant turmoil, constant changeover. It's hard to love these teams. It's hard to, and again, there's a complete randomness to the sport, right? Like, even if Maryland would have beaten Michigan State last night, it meant nothing other than, oh, it's a nice regular season win. Doesn't guarantee you anything in March. Doesn't guarantee you home field advantage or home court advantage. Doesn't guarantee you an easier or better opponent because they're so random. There's just a complete randomness to it. You're not even on your home floor, for God's sakes. If you are playing to be on your home floor in the first two rounds of the tournament, okay, it means something. It doesn't mean anything other than whether you get in or you get in or you don't get in. And obviously, there it means something. But if you're a top 20-ish team, top 25, top even 30 team, you have nothing to worry about, nothing to sweat. It means nothing. Okay, maybe you're a 6 seed instead of a 4 seed. What does that mean? It doesn't guarantee that it's a harder path. It doesn't mean anything. Doesn't mean you lose out on a home court game or anything. If there was home court advantage in the first two rounds, at least you could say, all right, these games mean something. Boy, well, that was a big loss. You can't lose a game at home if you want to be at home in the NCAA tournament, so on and so forth. All right, anyway, I've said my spiel. I'm probably annoying people, but it's just how I feel. Sorry. You want me to tell the truth? Sometimes you're not going to like the truth. Let's do a trending alert, and then we will get into the NFL. If you want to chime in on Maryland basketball, go right ahead. But, I think the Scott Van Pelts, the Coach Sheehan's, the J.P. Finley's of the world are and Rob Carlin's of the world are really the only people that care. The media, that went to Maryland, they care. I don't think a lot of the fabric of the fan base around here cares. Let's do the trending alert right here, right now on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. All right, we'll start with breaking NFL news. We heard the other day from Chiefs GM Brett Veach that he expected and thought Travis Kelce was coming back. Well, apparently, according to the Pat McAfee show, Kelce has texted Pat and said he will indeed return in 2025 and is not retiring in the NFL. So I guess that makes it official, right? NFL Combine is still going on. Big situation to kind of keep an eye on here. Marshall star defensive end edge prospect and potential first-round pick of the Commanders, although he's expected to go earlier than that. Mike Green is dealing with rumors that he addressed yesterday at his podium session about sexual assault issues while at Virginia. Now he's skipping all drills at the Combine due to hamstring tightness, so he will not participate until his workout day, or his pro day, I should say. He led the nation with 17 sacks. The NFL salary cap officially set today at $279.2 million per club. That's about halfway in between last week's projected window. And it also means that including player benefits, teams are expected to shell out $362.5 million per team for player-related costs. Meanwhile, the Caps back on the ice tonight. Alex Ovechkin obviously continues his pursuit. We'll see if he can get it done against Jordan Binnington, the Canadian goaltender who won the Four Nations faceoff last week. Blues and the Capitals in a Thursday nighter at Capital One Arena, 6:45 over on 106.7 The Fan, and that's what's trending.
Let's get ready to wrestle!
Good to have you with us right here on a Thursday, final day of the broadcast week for me. I'll be out Thursday and Friday and Monday. DOC will be in tomorrow. This is the time of the year where we take a day off here and a day off there. We certainly don't do it much during football season. So did take a couple of days off, I guess, because of the way the holidays fell in the middle of the week. in the last 2 weeks of the regular season, but that was just because of the way the holidays felt. AMAC is here on the other side of the glass. Be nice to him when you call in if you want to at 301-230-0980, 301-230-0980. My guy, Rocky Pinnick, who's always, I love Rocky. He's sarcastic, chimes in. He goes, basketball, hey, you tried. Let's talk food. I mean, listen, a lot more people care about food talk than they do about college basketball, I promise you. Speaking of college basketball, before we move on to the NFL, it is your chance to experience the ultimate college hoops tip-off weekend. It's at Odyssey's Buckets and Bets. Yeah. Happening March 20th through the 23rd at Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Hollywood, Florida. Listen to the Sports Junkies next week for the daily keyword to enter at theteam980.com for your chance to win. You and a friend will fly away to Florida to watch every upset and buzzer beater on massive LED screens and enjoy real-time betting action. Gambling problem? Call 1-888-ADMIT-IT. That's ADMIT-IT, 1-888-ADMIT-IT. At the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, Hollywood, Florida. You do whatever you want. Of course, a lot of people watch the tournament, but they watch it because there's a gambling element to it that is stronger than in any other sport outside of football. Right? There just is. And the brackets inherently, while they're not pure gambling, that is how most people that aren't regular gamblers gamble. Make no mistake about it. It's gambling. That's it. I mean, sorry, but it doesn't mean that people care about these games or these teams or these players like a lot of my colleagues think they do. Around here, you know, oh, hey, George Mason, nice run. They won 11 games in a row. So I watched them on Saturday, and I had watched them before. But they've struggled now their last two games. They barely beat St. Joe's at home a week and a half ago. And then they were nip and tuck with VCU on the road in a hornet's nest. And then they completely fell apart in the second half. Right? Now, does that mean that they're a bad team? Of course not. But in that case, maybe when you're outside of the top 30, 35, in terms of rankings and perception and whatnot, maybe that regular season game certainly means something, because if you would have said, all right, if Mason would have beaten VCU on Saturday and then lost in, say, the conference tournament next week here or whenever it is, 2 weeks here ago in D.C., lost in the conference tournament in the finals to VCU, then you could make an argument that that Mason would get an deserves an at-large spot. And remember, when they went to the Final Four so many years ago, they were an at-large team. They were not a conference championship team. Okay? So maybe you could make the argument that in that particular scenario, the college basketball regular season means something. But for Maryland last night, what does that loss mean? It means nothing. It means nothing. And even if they would have won, it meant nothing towards the ultimate goal. And if your ultimate goal is to win a regular season championship, then it means something. That's not the ultimate goal in anybody's mind. Right? You don't play the game to win regular season championships. You play the game to win conference titles. Okay? And you win in college basketball, a conference title and the NCAA tournament, or at least to get to the Final Four. The regular season championship is like way down the list. Again, these are my thoughts. I know it's not popular and conventional. I've never cared. And it does not translate well to sports talk radio. Again, people will watch the games. People will gamble on the games. People will fill out a bracket. That does not mean that people have an avid interest in the players, the games, the stories, the teams. It doesn't mean that. It just means that they like to do something for fun. Brackets are fun, right? Every year I get together, you know, with a group of people, whether it be the show listeners. We did a show bracket last year, right? Where it's like, have callers call in and pick two games. They don't know anything about the teams. They don't know one player on the team. They don't know anything. But it's fun to do, right? And fun to see how it works out and see if pasta sticks to the wall. I don't know. This is a thing that is just grinds your gears. And maybe it's around here because there's a level of arrogance with Maryland that always seems to be there from the prominent Maryland alumni that are in the media. Maybe that's it. I don't know. But I think for me, it extends far beyond that. I wish the regular season for a lot of teams meant something. And maybe I'm missing something. I don't really sense that it means a whole lot. It means something for George Mason or VCU. It does not mean anything in this case for Maryland. Now, in other years, it has meant something for Maryland because they've been on the cusp. They've been on the borderline. They're a tournament team for sure. Nothing could derail Maryland from being a tournament team at this point. They're a guaranteed shoe-in. And especially if they go to, what, the field of 78 or whatever it is that they're talking about? Or 76 or however many freaking teams they're talking about? I mean, my gosh, devaluing it even more. Devaluing it even more. All right, I'm done. I wanted to talk Terps basketball. It came out, you know, and I thought last night was a really interesting game, good and bad. Controversial ending. Random, but controversial ending. And, you know, as I pretty much suspected, again, it just never translates to sports. And this isn't just my show. I've talked to a lot of sports talk radio hosts, nationally, locally, whatever. They all feel the same way. But program directors, and the expectation often is in mid-February through the end of March that you have to stuff college basketball down people's throats because of television ratings. And that is simply an inaccurate presentation. That's all there is to it, guys. 301-230-0980, NFL next. We already touched on a couple of the big stories. There's much, much more that we will get into and start lining up your calls for at 301-230-0980 on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app. I have many faults, damn it! This is true. This is very true. We don't do perfect scientist radio here. We just don't. And maybe one of my faults is that I'm not a college basketball diehard. I don't know what to tell you. I think I'm right. I'm given a forum to express my opinions and call it as I see it. And that's what I do. All right, let's get to something I know you guys care about, which is all the NFL rule changes pending and possible and already done. We told you about the salary cap being set at 279.5. Five, I guess, was the final number, right? 279.5. Hey, Mac, I know I gave it during the trending alert. Let me just make sure. 279.2. Sorry, 279.2. And then the extraordinarily large number added on to that for player benefits. People forget that the NFL salary cap, what they see for player contracts, is not the end. That the league's 32 teams, essentially, are paying, I think the number is just like around $10 billion for player contracts and health benefits or benefits, right? Like, the salary cap is just for the contracts to play. It's not benefits, right? Like, kind of like in any place in America, right? If you make $100,000, that's not $80,000 worth of salary and $20,000 worth of benefits. That's not the way that works. Again, just pointing that out. This is good news for everybody that teams have more money to spend. It means that revenues continue to climb and continue to astronomically grow for whatever reason, television contracts, ticket prices, merchandise, all the revenue that is split among 32 teams causes a, what, roughly $24-ish million surge in the salary cap. That being said, just because you have that money doesn't mean you always go out and spend it, right? Teams want to save some money to have money to juggle their roster during the year. So you, and you have the rookie pool that you have to set aside, right, for your rookie draft picks, which, again, you know, because of trades, sometimes could be 7 at this time of the year, could be 9 by the time the draft is done, could be 5, could be less, could be more. It all kind of depends, right? But that's included in your salary cap. So you can't just all spend the money, right? And remember, the public number or the public numbers that we see are not always, often are way off. They're off. Because the only real numbers that matter is the NFL Management Council, not even the NFLPA. The NFL Management Council. That's it. And not over the cap or spot track. But the cap going up as much as it is certainly helps a lot of teams. It also makes trading Myles Garrett a little bit easier, perhaps, for the Cleveland Browns. Maybe. We'll see. We'll see. We'll get into more NFL coming up next hour, including all the potential rule changes and things we haven't gotten to, like the tush push, the potential expansion of the kickoff rule, and much, much more, including just another mind-numbing bird brain decision by the NFL that I want to tackle next on the Team 980 and the Odyssey app.
Low-carb keto yo-yo diets, GLP-1 injections, but you're never going to lose weight if your liver is clogged with fat. So what can you do? It's simple. Almased. Almased is a natural superfood protein shake that uses natural amino acids and bioactive peptides to help unclog your liver and optimize your metabolism so it's easier to lose weight. And it's been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Join millions who have transformed their lives with Almased. Find out more and see the university studies at almased.com. That's almased.com.
The PGA Tour is all systems go, and so is the new show, Early Wedge, on the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Sportsline experts Sia Nejad, Mike McClure, and Eric Cohen, alongside myself, Rick Gaiman, Patrick McDonald, and Jason Sobel. 5 times per week, the Early Wedge provides the best information for DFS lineups, outright selections, and so much more. Follow and listen to Early Wedge in the Early Edge feed on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.